In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My Lord and my God, I firmly believe that you are here, that you see me, that you hear me. I adore you with profound reverence. I ask pardon for my sins and the grace to make this time of prayer fruitful. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me. Lord, whenever we begin our prayer, we invoke our Immaculate Mother. And today, as we do our prayer on the messages of Fatima, we come especially to her with that title, because at Fatima she announced that she wanted to promote devotion to her Immaculate Heart. On the 13th of May 2017, the Church celebrated the centenary of those apparitions at Fatima that took place in 1917. And we remember how then on that 13th of May, Our Lady appeared dressed in white, surrounded by a great light, to those three shepherd children, Lucia dos Santos, who was only 10, and her cousins Francisco and Jacinta Marto, who were 9 and 7, three little children. And Mary appeared to them when they were minding their sheep at Cova da Iria, about a kilometer from their homes. She asked them to come back to that place on the 13th of each month for 6 months. And later she told them that on the 13th of October she would do a great miracle. And in the course of those apparitions at Fatima, she gave them a good number of messages. And Lord, help us to pray about them today. Those messages are not merely something from the past to be recalled with great joy, but something to be lived always. They are alive. They are so relevant to us today. And in our prayer, we can consider 6 messages. First, to pray the rosary every day. Our Lady, in that very first apparition in May, asked the three children to pray the rosary every day and to pray it for peace, and later too for the conversion of sinners, to pray the rosary every day. That prayer that was already very widespread, that had begun in the very early centuries, when the lay faithful who could not read, wanting to accompany the monks in the monasteries who were reciting the 150 psalms of the breviary, accompanied them by praying 150 Our Fathers and often counting them on beads. And then around the year 1000, the Our Father gave way simply by popular piety to the Hail Mary, and gradually the mysteries developed. And in 1569, Pope Pius V, a Dominican pope, standardized the rosary in its present form. And at that time, with the three groups of mysteries, the joyful mysteries, Lord, of your infancy, the sorrowful mysteries of your passion and death, the glorious mysteries of your resurrection and glorification. And then it would be John Paul II who added the mysteries of light. But that rosary grew out of popular piety. It is a prayer about you. In those mysteries, we pray about your life as seen through the eyes of Mary. It's a Christological prayer. We learn so much from those mysteries about your life and so many aspects of our faith that are in some way contained in the mysteries. All of the sacraments are there, so many dogmas of faith, so many virtues. Lord, help us to pray the rosary ourselves every day if we can. And the rosary, of course, is a Marian prayer. 50 Hail Marys, in which we greet Our Lady first with the words of the angel, Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. And then the words of Mary's cousin Elizabeth, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And the name Jesus was added later. A Marian prayer, a prayer about Christ, a powerful prayer. After the rosary was standardized in 1569, in 1570, when the Christian navies set sail to do battle with the Turkish navy, which was running rampant on the Mediterranean, the Pope, again Pope Pius V, asked the people to pray the rosary for the success of that fleet, and they were successful against overwhelming odds. Ships were sunk through the rosary. And then we can skip forward to the 20th century. And Mary had asked the children to pray for the conversion of Russia, that Russia would spread her errors throughout the world. And these were the errors of communism, of atheism, of materialism. And they spread throughout the world, not only in the Soviet Union, in those satellite countries, but in the West too, in universities, in trade unions, in so many ways. But the people were praying the rosary. And then in 1989, communism fell first in Poland, then in the other satellite countries, and finally in Russia. And those errors were not spread so much, at least, throughout the world. The rosary is a powerful prayer in the conversion of sinners, too. And I remember years ago when I was chaplain in a university residence, and we had a resident who was a little bit older than the others, who had come from another country, had served in the army of that country in various other countries, and now was studying in our residence. He was not practicing the faith. And one day he came and asked if he could go to confession. When he finished his confession, he asked, Father, do you know where I can get a rosary? And I was surprised. He simply didn't seem like the sort of person that would want a rosary. And he explained, yes, because when I was growing up, I was in a boarding school, and we used to pray the rosary every day, and I would like to take it up again. And then it occurred to me, that was a feast day of Our Lady. And I asked him if he knew it was one of her feast days, and he said no. And I said, I think Our Lady brought you back on this feast day of hers because of your devotion to her years ago. This is the power of the rosary. This is the power of Mary. And help us to say the rosary ourselves, to say it every day if we can. There are so many intentions for which we need to pray it. And another message that we can take from Fatima. Mary asked those children to pray for peace in the world. The First World War was then raging. They prayed for peace. That war ended in November of the following year, 1918. But when we look at our world today, the cause of peace is so necessary. There is a lack of peace everywhere. In so many countries, Christians are being persecuted, being put to death, and we pray for peace for them. And so many other countries where there are various groups fighting one another on a daily basis, we pray for peace. And we pray for peace closer to home. We pray for peace in our families. In so many families, there is a lack of peace between the parents and the children, or among the children. Peace in our workplaces, where there can often be such dissension, such gossip. Blessed are the peacemakers, you said, for they shall be called the children of God. Lord, help us to foster peace, to be peacemakers, to build bridges between people, to end hostilities, to build bridges and not walls. And we will be able to foster peace if we have peace first in our own heart. And how do we have peace in our heart? When we are trying to do your will, and when we fail, and we do fail, we sin, we say an act of contrition, we go back to confession, and that peace is restored. Lord, help us to foster peace, to pray for peace, and to have peace in our own heart so that we can bring it to others. A third message, so strong in Fatima, to do penance. And Our Lady asked those children to do penance for the conversion of sinners, in reparation for sin. And she didn't tell them what to do. But what did they do in response to that request? They wore a rough rope around their waists. And that rough rope would have been very irritating. And they wore it not only during the day, but at night too, until in one of the apparitions Our Lady told them that Jesus didn't want them to wear it at night. What penance those little children did. And they would go out to mind their sheep, taking a lunch with them. And if they found poorer children than they were, they would give their lunch to them, and then they would go hungry. And then poor Francisco, on one occasion, a splitting headache. We get a headache when we're hungry. And he would offer up the headache and his hunger for sinners. And then the insects, making a deafening noise for him, increased the pain of the headache, and he offered that up. Lord, those children were generous. We look at ourselves. How much penance am I doing? We can be so soft on ourselves. And penance, mortification, is of the essence of love for you. Sanctity is love, love for God and love for our neighbor. But the essence of love is sacrifice. We can say, Lord, I love you. We can say that to our relatives and friends. But love is deeds. It is sacrifice. How much sacrifice am I living for love of God? And Lord, you invited us to do that. If anyone would be my disciple, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Lord, help us to do more penance. On one occasion, someone asked Sister Lucia, because she became a Carmelite nun, what sort of penances God wanted. And in essence, she answered, simply the fulfillment of our daily duties. This is within the reach of all of us. To fulfill our duties, from getting out of bed on time, beginning our work, stopping to pray, showing kindness to others, all of those daily duties. And of course, penance in food too, because we tend to eat out of time and we tend to eat too much. Lord, help us to deny ourselves. We don't have to eat so much. We can eat more of what we like less and less of what we like more in that formula of St. Jose Maria Escrivá. But Lord, help us to find that daily penance, to take up our cross daily and follow you. Those children did that. We need it. We want to be saints. We want to love you. We want to be useful in your service. If we are full of ourselves and self-indulgent, we cannot be useful to others. We cannot spread your gospel in the world. Help us to take up our cross daily and follow you. And then a fourth message, to pray for the conversion of sinners. And Lord, when we look at our world today, when we look at our families today, when we look at ourselves today, we see so much sin. And the sins of today are perhaps worse than they were then. And Lord, we begin with ourselves. We don't cast a stone at others when we are with so many sins ourselves. We look at our life, so many sins. Are we sorry? How often do we go to confession? Help us to examine our conscience every night, to see the good deeds that we have done and to thank you for them, and to see the sins too, because they are there, to say that act of contrition and with the resolution to go to confession often. And if we have committed a mortal sin, all the more, to say that act of perfect contrition, which restores the state of grace, provided it is accompanied by the resolution to go to confession at the first opportunity, to go often to this great sacrament of peace, this sacrament of joy that gives peace to the soul, that gives us so much joy. That sacrament of which St. John Paul II said in his apostolic exhortation, Reconciliatio et Penitentia, 1984, the sacrament of penance is in crisis. Lord, help it not to be in crisis in me. And help me to be your ambassador to help many others come back to that great sacrament. We need it. And we are the sinners. And there are so many others around us. And we see them in our own families. We see them in our workplaces. We see them amongst our friends and relatives. How much do we pray for the conversion of sinners? We are the first sinners, but there are so many others around us too. And Lord, your mother showed those three children a vision of hell in the July apparition, and she told them that many souls went to hell because there was no one to pray for them. And we can ask ourselves, is there anyone in my field of acquaintance and friendship who might go to hell if I didn't pray for them? Help me to see how important it is that I pray for them, that I help them in some way, that they not go to hell, that they come back to you. And in the July apparition too, Our Lady told those children to pray that prayer that we say at the end of the Mysteries of the Rosary. O my Jesus, forgive us our sins, save us from the fires of hell, and lead all souls to heaven, especially those in most need of your mercy. A beautiful prayer which sums it up. Forgive us our sins. Save us from the fires of hell. Hell is a reality. People go there, and there will be fewer who go if we pray more for them, if we give them better example, if we help them to come back to God. Save us from the fires of hell and lead all souls to heaven, especially those in most need of your mercy. There are so many in need of your mercy here on earth, and of course the souls in purgatory are in need of your mercy too. Prayer for the conversion of sinners. And then a fifth message. Devotion to Mary's Immaculate Heart. Mary told Lucia that she would remain on earth to promote devotion to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. And Mary appeared to Sister Lucia on the 10th of December, 1925, accompanied by the child Jesus. And she said, "Have compassion on the heart of your most Holy Mother, covered with thorns, with which ungrateful men pierce it at every moment, and there is no one to make an act of reparation. That heart of Mary, Lord, which was one with yours, your heart and hers were one. When that sword pierced your heart on Calvary, it pierced hers too, as prophesied by Simeon. And today, when people sin, Mary's heart is pierced, and as she said, there's no one to make an act of reparation, covered with thorns. And Our Lady went on to say to Sister Lucia, I promise to assist at the hour of death with the graces necessary for salvation all those who on the first Saturday of five consecutive months shall confess, receive Holy Communion, recite five decades of the Rosary, and keep me company for 15 minutes while meditating on the mysteries of the Rosary, with the intention of making reparation to me. And she gave Sister Lucia and the Church that custom of the five first Saturdays. And again, what was she asking? To receive communion, to go to confession, to recite five decades of the Rosary, one part of the Rosary, and in addition, to pray for 15 minutes meditating on the mysteries of the Rosary with the intention of making reparation to Our Lady. And then on May 29th, 1930, Our Lady again appeared to Sister Lucia, and she explained why it would be specifically five Saturdays. She explained because it was of five kinds of offenses and blasphemies against her Immaculate Heart. Blasphemies against her Immaculate Conception, against her perpetual virginity, against her divine and spiritual maternity, against her images, and the neglect of implanting in the hearts of children a knowledge and love of Mary's Immaculate Heart. Five Saturdays, five types of offenses against Our Lady, against her Immaculate Conception, her perpetual virginity, her divine and spiritual maternity, her images, and the neglect of implanting in the hearts of children a knowledge and love of Mary Immaculate. And Lord, help us to avoid offending Our Lady, and on the contrary, to do all we can to promote devotion to her Immaculate Heart. And finally, a sixth message, which is so relevant to today, and which, in a sense, is a consequence of going to Fatima, of seeing what happened there, and of trying to live those messages, and that is an increase of faith in God. Because, Lord, everything that happened at Fatima increases our faith. The very fact that Mary appeared to those three children, that she made those prophecies which came true. She told the children that in October she would work a great miracle that would be seen by all. 70,000 people trudged through the mud, the rain, on that cold, wet day, and saw the miracle of the sun, where the sun appeared through the clouds that parted and whirled around, and with light coming out of all the different colors, appeared to come down to earth. And those people were frightened, thinking that the world was coming to an end. And then it went back into its orbit. And even the skeptics who had gone to Fatima to write about the credulity of these simple Christians had to write that they had seen the miracle themselves. That Our Lady told the three children that she would take Francisco and Jacinta to heaven soon. Francisco died the following year, and Jacinta the year after that. But that Lucia would remain behind to promote devotion to the Immaculate Heart. She remained on earth as a Carmelite nun and died at the age of 97 in the year 2005. She said in the July apparition that if her call to prayer and penance was not heeded, another more terrible war would begin, and it would be preceded by a strange light. In fact, on the night of the 25th of January 1938, an extraordinary red, green, and blue shimmering light appeared all over Western Europe and North America, leaving people thinking there was a great fire on Earth or that the world was coming to an end. And it was reported in newspapers all over the world the following day. And Sister Lucia knew it was the light prophesied by Our Lady. A month later, Hitler marched into Austria with his troops, and in September, he invaded Poland, and the Second World War began with all of its terrible devastation. Also in the July apparition, Our Lady said that if her requests were not heard, Russia would spread her errors throughout the world, bringing wars and persecution of the church. The good, she said, would suffer martyrdom, and the Holy Father would suffer much. And all of that came to pass in those following years. Millions of martyrs in the Soviet Union, in Germany, millions. The Holy Father would suffer much. And we know that it was on the 13th of May, 1981, on the feast of Our Lady of Fatima, that that would-be Turkish assassin shot John Paul II in St. Peter's Square. The bullet passed 1 millimeter from his aorta. His life was spared, and he attributed it to Our Lady. And the following year, on the 13th of May, he went to Fatima and took the bullet that they had taken from his body and left it there in the crown of Our Lady. And he said, Our Lady's hand was stronger than the assassin's bullet. Mary's power is so great. Lord, help us. We increase our faith when we see the fulfillment of all of those prophecies. And then, of course, with all of those rosaries that were said throughout the 20th century, communism fell, beginning in Poland and throughout those communist regimes. This is the power of Mary. This is the legacy of Fatima. Lord, help us to go back, to relive those messages, to put them into practice today, to keep those messages alive. They are so important. And Mary, you are almighty in your power of intercession. Help us to love you more, to love Jesus more, to do more penance, to pray for the conversion of sinners, to say the rosary every day, to have devotion to your Immaculate Heart, to believe more in God, and to help others to believe and to come back to your divine Son. I thank you, my God, for the good resolutions, affections, and inspirations that you have communicated to me in this time of prayer. I ask your assistance in putting them into effect. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me.